What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, joining us for the hour, as he does on Wednesdays.
Don't stop thinking about tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what we do around here. We're thinking about next. We're also stuck on Sunday.
It's a great song. This is a great summer song, man. It feels like it's a summer song when I hear this.
Yeah, it's a great song. It is. Wide Out Wednesday with Jason Avant. All right, Jason, we'll get back to the phone lines here. People have some questions and more to unpack on these potential coordinators to replace Kevin Pitullo. But, Jason, let's go through the final four plays, because I can't stop thinking about what happened that final sequence of the game. And before we get to fourth down, I want to play for you what Nick Foles said, his take on it, and get yours. But let's kind of go through the four plays there.
Okay.
All right, so first down, it ends up as Jalen tries to scramble, right? Tries to go through the middle of the line. I thought there was some space in the middle of the defense. If he got past the defensive line, he could have run. He got tripped up. Jason, first down, what did you see? What do you think Jalen was seeing as he took off?
Well, when Jalen went out, they had a smash concept, which they ran previously on the left side, but he had double slants. So here's the thing. The 49ers played the same coverage for the last 10 plays of the game.
Mm. So
you hear me?
Yeah, the last 10 plays.
Last 10 plays of the game, they played cover four.
What does that tell you that they did that?
There's no elite quarterback in the NFL that you can play cover four without blitzing him. And he's elite.
So they weren't scared
they
Jalen
weren't
was going to pick
Jalen
him apart.
Make a play.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They felt like they can confuse him with defense and that they can play their regular coverage. It's fine. That's kind of an indictment on Jalen Hurts right there. Cover four the entire time. Okay. So on that first play, he had a concept that worked before the Devontae Smith. It's like a little arrow concept. He caught the ball beforehand. That play, they shut it down. But on the play, they had two slants backside. That's made for cover four. So you had backside Jahan Dotson, who he could throw the ball to right away. You got to know, okay, I've completed this pass to Devontae or AJ a couple times in this drive. Is not going to be open consistently, but I have another answer on the backside. He didn't throw the backside slants one time, and they called it three times.
So it was there, and he didn't take it, and he ran.
He didn't take
it. All right, got tripped up. All right, second down. This is the one that's going to keep me up for the entire offseason. So second down, as I watched it live, Tom Brady said he thought Jalen bailed what was a clean pocket. He rolled right, which is a big tendency of his, and he threw the ball out of bounds. Mm-hmm. What did you see there? I mean, it happened quick, but he bailed, and then it was just a wasted down.
Yeah, so he bailed out of the pocket on him. The pocket was clean. Again, they had double slants to the left side against cover four. Devontae's open this time, could bang him right there with the ball. You stay in the pocket, you get both stop routes, one deeper by AJ, one shallow in the slot by Jahan Dotson. Both of those guys were open.
Mm.
So you got three people open on one play and the ball goes out of bounds.
Yeah, can't happen. Can't happen. All right, third down, this is the play that obviously they needed to make and they didn't make. He throws, now, when I saw that one, to me they had two receivers on each side, right? Then Goddard went in motion. It became three on one side. I think that's how it went, right? Mm-hmm. And it ended up where Devontae came open middle of the field. Jalen saw it, threw it. Now, that one, how did you see it as a wide receiver? I've heard both sides of this. To me, the throw was high. Like, it just was a high throw. Devontae did get his hands on it. I mean, he leapt high to get his hands on it. How did you see it?
That's a misthrow, right? So here it is. So they basically have a short post, an angled short post for Devontae. Here's the thing that makes it worse, because this could have been a completion. They have AJ going through the middle of the field on the backside, but Jalen looks at Devontae from the snap. As soon as he catches it, he's looking left. That brings Malik Mustafa over to Devontae, which makes it even harder. He is just letting AJ run down the middle of the field. Not saying that AJ could have got the ball, but he's not even paying attention to AJ, who's supposed to be holding him. So that's a missed throw by Jalen Hurts. Can Devontae make a superhuman catch? Maybe, but that's a missed throw by, because it's there.
It had to be there. And if he catches that, that's first. They're first and goal in the nine.
Here's the thing. On all 10 of these plays, except for the last one, there is multiple answers that Jalen could have thrown the ball to.
All right. So, to me, it's indicting that they got to the 4th and 11, but they got there. All right, Jason, let's let you hear what Nick Foles had to say. Nick Foles on his podcast. Here is his perspective, quarterback perspective, on the fourth down, what they got to, what he wishes they would have done differently. Here's Nick.
From a quarterback's perspective, because that's what people want to hear, in these moments, these are big moments in games. These are season-defining moments. I guarantee you every single time I was in a season-defining, stressful moment, I had a play that I wanted called.
I can think of one in particular if you want to give an example.
Let's go to the examples. Like, okay, the Philly special is for sure that. Hey, then let's go the next year against the Chicago Bears in the playoff game on 4th and 1. I went up to Doug. I wanted Q8 because we had the formation, right, kill 34W, boom, boom, boom. They were doing 0-0 hole. It was too hard to see. I said, I'm just calling Q8. We're going to live and die with Q8. We're going to go on the run. Golden's going to win. We're running Q8. In this moment, as a quarterback, you have plays. And as an offensive coordinator to head coach, you can suggest a play. But when you call a timeout and you're discussing everything on the sidelines, I'm asking my quarterback, what do you like right here? Here's the call sheet. Because that's what the coaches would do with me. When I was on teams where I was a leader and it was like a high-functioning offense and I was excelling, they'd be like, hey, what do you like? What do you want to call?
All right, so Jason, your thought on Nick's perspective on it,
and then let's
go through what happened on 4th down. So what do you think about Nick? So as people keep pointing out that final sequence, they took the timeout, they went over it. How does that work? Like, how do you think they got to that play?
That play, look, first of all, like I told you, they played the same coverage the entire time. They took a timeout, took a picture
of the coverage.
Of the coverage. And came out and ran all go out of 2x2. Guess what the worst call you can call?
It's 4 go.
It's 4 goes with 4 safeties.
That play.
Or not 4 safeties or 4 people with quarters coverage.
Right.
That's the only coverage that is bad against. It's out of all the coverages you can call. It's the only one that is bad against.
So how does that happen? So you have
me feel bad.
I know.
Cover 3 is a great play. Cover 2, you can bend inside of the 2 safety that's widening. Cover 1, you may have a 1-on-1 on the outside, or you can hit a seam. The only one that's bad is 4.
So you have Petullo. You have Petullo, Sirianni, Hurts. How does that conversation go? And doesn't someone say, I don't know about this call?
So. This is one of those things that I don't know. Like,
we're recklessly speculating.
I can't explain it. I can't explain it. The call was bad. It was awful. It was awful call. All right. So here's the thing. Nick is right in that I know every critical situation beforehand what the play is going to be. I don't have to guess. The Eagles ran a play. In the second quarter, it was a 3rd and 14. They end up getting 13 yards, and they end up getting a tush push the next play. Mm-hmm. That play that they ran is called double dig lock. That's Andy Reid's 3rd and 10 play forever. It's the 4th and 26 that Freddie Mitchell caught.
Yeah, 4th and 26.
I have caught so many game-clinching plays off that particular play. They ran it, and it was successful. They ran it again in the third quarter. Jalen scrambled out of the pocket, but it was open. Why not go to double dig lock, who's been proven forever and is a great cover 4 beater?
That's the play.
That's the play in that situation.
You didn't like it. Or somebody didn't like it.
But then even if that's the case, if I'm a smart quarterback, I hear all go, what the are you talking about? All right, I got it. All right. Rare, you know, whatever it is, double wing right, all go, double stops, or all search, right? That's the same concept as all go. Now you're giving guys opportunities to break in and off defenders.
Right.
You can change that. Cam Newton had the ability to change that. So if he has the ability to change it, I know Jalen Hurts had the ability to change it.
So everyone screwed up. I mean, all right, so now once the play starts.
That was an awful play.
Bad play call, as you detailed, terrible. Could Jalen have done, or was he done? Was it done from the beginning? I mean, he ended up throwing a Goddard, and the linebacker jumped in Kendricks. It became 3 guys there. Did he have another option? Like, if you were Jalen, you're running the bad play. Did he make the most of the bad situation, or could he have gone somewhere else?
Well, I'm not running the play if I'm Jalen.
Right, but
without making an adjustment.
Right, like the ball is snapped. What do you think he should? Did he do the right thing in the moment?
No.
Okay.
No. So if the ball is snapped, and I have that play. I'm not throwing it into cover 4 on a seam ball. I'm not doing it. Okay. What I'm going to do is play backyard football and make them tackle me before, as long as I can. I'm going to extend the play as long as I can and give myself a chance.
Right.
I'm not just going to throw a ball like it was open, just throw it on timing to Dallas Goedert. No, I'm going to hold that ball, make a play in the pocket. AJ, let's play ball, whatever it is. And then at the end of the day, if I trust AJ, he the one getting the ball.
Mm. It was him and Lenore in the corner of the end zone.
But it's still a horrible call.
Yeah. Well, I think we all see that. Yeah.
It's horrible. Yeah.
Man, Hugh.
You made me feel worse.
I know.
I mean, that's.
Petula
might be
out of here in that call alone. My goodness gracious. All right. 215-592-9494. Crazy. Back to your phone calls. And then we'll unpack some of these candidates here, more candidates, and Jason's thoughts on them. Anthony in South Philly is up on WIP. Hey, Anthony.
Hi, Joe. How are you, buddy?
What's up, Anthony?
I got a couple of questions for Jason.
Sure, go for it.
Jay, first let me say, as far as I'm concerned, I've been following you since your podcast with Quentin Michael. You're the new Seth Joyner in this city because you say the truth. So it's a pleasure to talk to you.
That's
now,
big, praise.
I got two questions.
Two great analysts. We'll leave it at that. Go ahead, Anthony.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
If Sirianni were fired, would anybody hire him for one of these eight vacancies, number one? And number two, would this pass offense function better with Hurts or McKee at quarterback?
Well, so if Nick Sirianni is, yes, will teams be clamoring for Nick Sirianni? I think so. I think they would. Yeah, with his Super Bowl, like, you can't deny that he's had organization, that he's had clock management, that he's had players play hard for multiple years. You can't deny his record. You can't. So people are going to give him a chance.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Based on that.
Okay.
All right. Now, what was the second question?
Tanner. Would Tanner run the offense better?
Would our pass offense function better with Hurts or McKee at quarterback?
If you're seeing just the pass offense,
yes, that's
it's
all.
Such a small, like, I can't, in good faith, as a player, knowing the play, I've been tricked. I've been tricked by Charlie Weiss and Matt Flynn and a lot of
them. There's been a lot, yeah.
A lot of them that have a small sample. Yeah. And so the man started two games, and everyone is like, dude, put Tanner in there. We don't know. We know that he has a better throwing style, and his mechanics is better than Jalen Hurts. So is he a better thrower of the football than Jalen? Of course. Everyone sees that and knows that. But will he get the same results when it comes to wins and losses over a 16-game, 17-game season? I don't know.
We know. Anthony, good follow. The other thing is, when seeing him in his last game, he is immobile, or not very mobile, right? Like he,
not as
yeah, so like that plays a part.
That changes the dynamic of the offense.
Of course it does. All right, let's grab Justin in North Philly. Or Justin was there, and then he jumped off. Let's go to Chaz in Glendale. What's up, Chaz?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
What's up, Chaz?
I wanted to talk about maybe the conformation of our offense to the skill set of our quarterback and how it's been successful in the past, i.e. like Nick Foles and now Jalen, and how when we kind of tried to mold Randall Cunningham into a situation similar to this, it didn't turn out so well.
Well, I mean, Chaz, just to use Randall for an example, Randall's an interesting one because obviously his athleticism was incredible when he was young, but then he was older and couldn't move, and he had an incredible season for the Minnesota Vikings with Billick and Randy Moss and those guys.
They should have went to the Super Bowl.
They should have won. They were 15-1. Yeah. So, I mean, Chaz, that could happen. I mean, Russell Wilson evolved. Now, I mean, he's done now, but like he was more of a mobile runner. He's cooked now. But like he had a stretch where he's throwing 40 touchdowns and using his arm more than his legs. So, Chaz, that could happen. I mean, that does happen with some quarterbacks for sure.
That's a development issue, though, isn't it? I mean, if you think about it, he has a proven skill set. We already won the Super Bowl. Why not just keep using that skill set? All right, be creative. Don't be vanilla, but use what the guy has. As soon as he stopped the threat of the run, the leverage of the offense changed. The eyes of the defense changed. Everything collapsed at that point.
It did change things, yeah.
Can I say this? No one in the organization is saying, Jalen, on third and short, don't run.
Yeah, right? You think Kevin Petula with his job on the line was like, Jalen, don't run.
Don't run. That's a Jalen thing. That's something in Jalen's camp, something that he has decided to do within his team of people that this is not the best thing going forward for my career.
But the Eagles need it. I mean, or they needed it this year. Chaz, good phone call. This segment brought to you by McGurk's Pub and Grill. If you're looking for a spot to catch the playoff action, make it McGurk's. All their locations have an awesome game day atmosphere. Check out their menu at McGurk'sPub.com. All right, Jason, we were throwing out some names earlier, and one name that I think is interesting is Todd Monken. What do you think of Todd? He's had an interesting career where he was with Jameis, he was with Baker Mayfield, then he went back to college, right? He was with Georgia, won a national title. Now he's been with Lamar, and I think Lamar's improved a lot under Todd Monken. I mean, he won an MVP before Todd, but then I thought that he went down a little bit, and then from as a thrower, a pocket guy, yeah. I think he's improved a lot the last few years. Now, he may just follow John Harbaugh where he goes. Maybe this isn't available to us, but Todd Monken, your thoughts on him?
Yeah, he's one or two for me. Him and Daboll are one and two for me. Just because I think it, and I'm gonna give this a little bit of nuance, right? I think his ability to utilize the tight end position mm-hmm. would cause the Eagles to want to keep Goddard.
Mm.
And I think that would be a good thing because now when you have Likely and you have Andrews, now you can see Kyle Kotera and Goddard start to be featured a little bit more and it's less dependent upon A.J. Brown. And if you wanted to move A.J. Brown, Todd Monken is a guy that you should look for because the second and third receiver don't get as many balls anyway. And you can feature Devontae and still have the production along with the run game, along with that.
The way he did with Zay Flowers down
exactly.
in Baltimore, yeah.
Because anybody that's second in with Baltimore doesn't get the ball a bunch. So I like that. I like the heavy run. I like, you know, Lamar Jackson having a more of a play-action style. I love that. You get more open windows in the back end.
So Todd Monken is 59. When you think about this, because we were unpacking all the different elements of the coordinator search, do you think they should look for someone that might stick around?
Like, yes.
Okay, so 35-year-old, the guy we brought up from the Rams, right? He's probably on the fast track to being a head coach.
Yeah.
Gets here, does well, he's out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Monken strikes me as the kind of guy, just where the league is going with younger coaches, he might never be a head coach.
He's like Stout. He's like Stoutland.
Yeah, he might just stick around.
Yeah, he's a guy.
Just want to happy to be here,
yeah,
just chilling.
He's just happy. He's going to go down to the shore in the summertime.
Yeah.
And chill and embrace it. Yeah, that's who you need. You need a guy that still wants to work, a guy that's still hungry, but is content and is not looking to be out of here tomorrow.
So over the next week or so, they're going to start these interviews, right? And in the backdrop of this, Jason, there's 9 head coaching openings, right? Mm-hmm. Some of these guys are also interviewing for head coach jobs like Stefanski and McDaniel.
Yeah.
Do you view this as a great job, or does it come with some like, hey, if you don't perform, you're fired in a year?
Well, this is there's no job better than the Steelers. If I'm any coach,
you get 20 years,
dude. I'm playing, look, you give me $2 million pay cut. You know,
yeah.
Like you just
it's job security.
Like it's job security. I'm clamoring for the Steelers, so I don't think anybody's going to touch that. Or the Ravens. Like if the Ravens will keep you around a long time because that same mentality's there. Those two winning these organizations in their league, but I think the Eagles are very attractive job. Because the owner is willing to do whatever it takes. The fans are passionate. You have a good roster. You know that you have winning players. You have pieces. A lot of times with these coaching positions that you freaking go to Cleveland, you don't. They're so used to losing.
Yeah.
There's a structure here in Philadelphia where you know you're going to be in it. So that's attractive for a lot of coaches. And that speaks to longevity if you can weather the storm of the fans and the media and that type of stuff.
Hugh, what do you think on that? Is this an attractive job?
I think so. I think being in Philadelphia, but you have to be built for it. Because, you know, we was talking about Capri Pants, Mike McDaniel.
We're not sure about the Capri Pants.
Capri Pants.
I don't think he's amazing. I don't think he's a Philly guy.
Yeah, because, you know, first of all, he's going to have to get over that stigma of Capri Pants. And then to come in and, you know, the scrutiny here is high.
Yeah.
It's very, very high. I don't think he's built for that.
But
I really don't.
I just don't think that Jalen fits his style there. I don't think coaches from that tree is going to help. I really don't. That's just my. I believe Todd Monken will be a home run. I think Daboll will be a home run. I think Frank will be good. Cliff Kingsbury. I don't know his adjustments.
Okay.
I don't know.
I like Cliff. The only thing, I mean, other than last year, most seasons his offenses start hot and fall down.
And that's why I say his adjustments.
Yeah, right. It does feel like if we get him, I could see a big September, and then by December, we're like, oh, what the heck happening? All right, before we say goodbye, Jason, your thoughts on what's left in the NFL postseason? So 4 matchups,
mm-hmm.
Seahawks, Niners.
Seahawks. I think the Seahawks is going to beat the hell out of the Niners.
They're about to drag the Niners.
I feel the same way. Yeah, because might be out of gas.
They get more, and plus you lose Kittle. It's a bunch. But they get a bunch out of their defensive line, like sacks. They get a lot of production there, and that's something that we did not do enough of this past game, and there was multiple opportunities. And their secondary is way more discipline when it comes to just overall. They're a little bit more disciplined. We got caught out of – we blew five coverages in that game that cost us.
And the tackling in the secondary was bad.
Oh, man. Like, the blown coverages just bother me. We got two guys running to a flat. Now Juszczyk is running out the backside for 40 yards. I'm like, dude, what the hell?
Yeah, it's terrible.
We never do this.
Rams, Bears, you mentioned your family in Chicago. They're all fired up. That was a great game Saturday night. Now they have the Rams on Sunday.
It's supposed to be, I think, maybe a snowstorm in Chicago. It may be. I'm not 100%.
It's going to be like a high of 18 degrees.
Advantage Bears?
Advantage Bears in that situation.
Did they win the game?
I'm not going against Matthew Stafford in that situation.
I can't either.
I look at it and I say, the Bears should win because of the conditions, but Matthew, in that situation, after last year's losing, and I think they'll be prepared.
It just feels like Seahawks-Rams feels like the title game. I mean, they've been the two best teams in the NFC all year. All right, AFC, let's start with Sunday, because Saturday, to me, is the marquee one. Sunday, Texans and the Patriots. That's a fun game.
I'm taking the Texans.
That defense is good.
I am taking the Patriots. Oh, my God. Like, the way he played nickel, dude, I enjoy that.
I like that pass rush of the Texans.
Anderson, yeah.
And Danielle Hunter, they're really good. All right, so Saturday, I mean, the Broncos opened as an underdog at home as the team coming off the bye. And I get it. It's the Bills. It's Josh Allen. He was great again on this past Sunday. Bills or Broncos?
I think the Broncos are going to go down. At some point,
Josh can't go out like that, man. The
slipper has to go off for the Broncos.
Well, they win every game by like 3 points.
You can't keep doing that. It's going to catch up to you at some point.
Yeah, well, a lot of people think it's going to be the Buffalo Bills winning that game. Jason, we appreciate you hopping in.
As always,
have loved having the entire season. Great stuff today, man.
Thank you, guys. You guys are great. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate everyone there. And go Birds.
Go Birds. There he goes. Jason Avant. Wide Out Wednesday with Jason Avant was brought to you by Walnut Street Smiles and Chestnut Dental Studio. Part of the Dudat Dental Group. Official dentist of the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, all your phone calls coming up here. Plus, the latest on Bo Bichette and something the Mets are up to that we should be monitoring here. Maybe push the Phillies to go close this deal with Bichette. That's next. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh?
Oh, wait a minute. I got to read.
Sure
The NBA season heated up, and so is Fanatics Sportsbook. Here's the deal, folks. You guys have heard me talk about fan cash. And remember, every time you bet with Fanatics Sportsbook, you're earning up to 10% fan cash, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still stacking fan cash. Fan cash unlocks value you can get on up from other sportsbooks like no other, like more bets, unlimited profit boost, and your favorite player props, authentic NBA gear, game tickets, and access to exclusive Fanatics events like Fanatics Fest in New York City. But that's not their only play, folks. The good times roll with Fanatics Fair Play, a protection policy that turns losses into wins. That's right. If you love player props, your legs are protected across the entire first half of every game if an injury takes place. Make the switch to the sportsbook that gives you more to play with.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.